Tom Evenson III was first tried in Petersburg in the fall of 2006, and the jury could not reach a unanimous verdict on the first or second degree murder charges against him. In a second trial last summer, a Sitka jury acquitted Evenson of first degree murder, but the jury was hung on second degree. That meant he could have been tried a third time on that charge. Had he been convicted at trial, he could have faced 99 years in prison. The deal Evenson made last September included a sentence of 8 years, with three suspended. As he addressed the judge during Friday's sentencing hearing, prosecutor Dwayne McConnell made it clear he didn't think Evenson was getting the jail time he deserved. Still, he asked the judge to approve the deal.
The agreement as laid out, the state doesn't like. I don't think probably Mr. Evenson likes it. I know Ms. Gerber doesn't like it. That being said, we're asking the court to still accept it. From the state's view, yes, Mr. Evenson committed the crime of murder. He helped take the life of Michael Gerber. But twice now, juries have been unsuccessful to reach that conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt.
McConnell said the state had decided it was time to bring this criminal prosecution to an end. He said it may be hard to get a hold of the many witnesses for a third trial, and he said jurors had problems with a lot of the witnesses to begin with.
Many of the key witnesses were drug abusers, were alcohol abusers, or both. And I think I doubt many people in the city of Petersburg realize the kind of problem that exists, if you will, with things they don't see. This case, if people paid attention to it, showed that. There were certainly many key witnesses that are good, hardworking people that had factual issues that related to the trial, but they weren't the people that were up in the apartment.
That second-floor apartment on Singley Alley is where 29-year-old Michael Gerber was severely beaten and thrown out of the window, then cut over 70 times and finally stabbed to death in the alleyway below. His body was found April 1, 2005. At trial, prosecutors described the crime as a drunken beatdown, a feeding frenzy in which they said Evenson and two friends, Thomas Lyons and Anthony Hobby, all took part in murdering Michael Gerber. Hobby was convicted of second-degree murder earlier this year and was sentenced to 85 years in prison. Lyons is serving part of a 10-year sentence for criminally negligent homicide as part of a plea deal. At trial, the state had presented a substantial amount of witness testimony and circumstantial evidence implicating Evenson. Prosecutors also had evidence that Evenson had bruises on his knuckles and the victim's DNA under his fingernails. The jury also heard contradictory accounts, though, from key eyewitnesses, both of whom were admitted alcoholics. Evenson's defense attorney, Marcy McDaniel, had argued at trial there was a lack of direct physical evidence or a motive to prove Evenson's involvement. At sentencing, McDaniel called on the judge to approve the plea deal. For those who thought her client was getting away with murder in this case, McDaniel emphasized the strain he was under in two murder trials.
The strain of that on Mr. Evenson cannot be understated. And I think really reflected his profound determination to prove that he did not, in fact, participate in the murder of Michael Gerber.
But McDaniel saw the plea agreement as a way to resolve the case, which he thought had come to a sort of stalemate.
Judge, I don't want the court to think at all that this plea agreement is arbitrary or capriciously made. Once again, the state's evidence has been tested again and again in two costly and lengthy trials. So I think this plea agreement, which really is sort of a stalemate, represents kind of the very limits of what the state's evidence could prove, and Mr. Evenson's final desire for finality and to be able to move on and not subject himself to yet another jury trial.
While the attorneys and Evenson had agreed on the deal back in September, it did not have the support of the victim's mother. Ramona Gerber addressed the court via teleconference from Juneau at Friday's sentencing hearing.
This defendant participated in a vicious and malicious beatdown of my son along with two other defendants. At any time, he could have stopped and ceased the activity, walked away, or called for help. Instead, he chose to continue and participate, which resulted in the death of my son.
Gerber struggled not to cry as she continued her statement, describing the extensive injuries her son sustained and the likelihood that, had he lived, he would have had lifelong physical and mental problems. Gerber recounted some of the evidence presented at trial.
This defendant has made statements to law enforcement after the murder that he was a friend of Michael's, and he was heartbroken. He was killed And why would anyone do this? Yet the same defendant made statements to numerous people after the killing that he did something and he was going away for a very long time.
Gerber said the plea agreement was not justice, and she asked the court not to approve it.
This defendant acted without remorse or consideration for the life of another human being in participating in the killing of my son. The sentence does not meet the crime.
When his turn to address the judge came up, Evenson, who sat in the courtroom next to his attorney, made no mention of Gerber, and he did not express any sadness or remorse about the brutal attack that resulted in Gerber's death that night, back in the spring of 2005. Rather, Evenson argued his sentence was too long, citing a list of Alaska statute numbers and the U.S. Bill of Rights. He objected to the fact that his previous assault convictions were aggravating factors in his sentence.
I know that His Honor is here to listen to both sides of the story and make a lawful decision. Any sentence that is contrary to the Alaska statutes, what the legislature intended by making law, violates every fundamental safeguard afforded to me per the Bill of Rights.
Evenson said he did not want to withdraw from the plea agreement, yet he also said he did not want to waive his right to appeal the sentence, which he would need to do in order to accept the plea agreement. Judge Trevor Stevens explained that the defendant could not pick and choose parts of the agreement. The judge allowed a recess so that McDaniel could advise her client privately, but when they returned, Evenson remained at odds with his attorney. Ultimately, McDaniel said she did not think any further communication between her and her client would help the situation. She said she did not see any merit in Evenson's assertions. She believed he had already waived his right to appeal and was fully informed about his rights when he agreed to the plea deal back in September. Tensions were high between McDaniel and Evenson at this point in the hearing. She said she'd asked to withdraw from the case if he pursued his objections. Evenson said he didn't want her speaking for him anymore. Based on Evenson's adamance that he would not withdraw from the plea agreement, the judge approved it and went forward with sentencing.
He's not been convicted of a homicide. I'm not imposing a sentence based on a finding that he caused Mr. Gerber's death. Obviously, his conduct was part and parcel of a scenario that ended up resulting in Mr. Gerber's death. And had Mr. Gerber survived, I think as Ms. Gerber pointed out there, he sustained very substantial injuries.
Stevens sentenced Evenson within the terms of the plea agreement, 8 years total, with 5 to serve in prison. Evenson has already served nearly 2 years in jail waiting for his trials, and under state sentencing rules, Evenson could qualify for parole after serving a total of 3 years and 4 months. After his release, he'll be on probation for 5 years. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.